This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Junkies and flunkies, welcome to the NWA Saturday Special. This is the only place in the whole world that you'll get all your NWA information and get it in the proper way. But I can't do it alone because there's some great things going on. We're getting ready for Hard Times too. But before we do that, we got to break it down. So I got to bring in my partner, the man himself, the Podfather. Scott Criscolo. Welcome to the program. What's going on tonight?
Doctor.
Or this morning, I should say.
Morning,
Happy Thanksgiving. Yes, yes.
Evening. Yes. Any time of the day. Hello. Hope everyone's having a nice extended Turkey Day weekend. We are
both
1 week away.
United States anyway.
Yes. Yeah, Canada had theirs in like September or something. I'll have to ask Aaron George. But they had theirs already. It's good to be with you, Doctor, as always. We are, if you're listening to this on Saturday morning of your holiday weekend, sipping your latte, we are 7 days away from the big one. Yes. Hard Times 2 is, if you're listening to this on Saturday, 1 week from tonight. Next Saturday, the 4th, from the GPB.
That's right. Because you know what? Forget about all those other shows. You come here, you want all your NWA news, you come to this program.
You're damn right. We're it.
That's just where it happens. And wow, I tell you, this is shaping up to be a pretty good pay-per-view.
It's huge. I got to say, Doctor, looking at it again while I was while we were getting ready, looking at the card again, and we'll go over the card during the course of this week's program. We'll keep this week brief because you're going to hear a ton of us next week. So. We'll keep it brief tonight. We will give you. There was a power this week. Actually, I thought they were just going to blow the week off, or just
it
do
was enough with this chase.
Thing.
Now I'm done with it. I'm done with it. Let's move on.
I can't believe it. Yet another episode from the chase. How many did they do? Like 30? It's like Jesus. What, they start at like 8 a.m. and finish at like 10 p.m. If you're crazy,
I know, right?
It was nuts. But at least this episode was taped on one of the two power days, so the crowd wasn't bad. But this was definitely a pieced together episode of Power to get us home to next week. So I don't know what this coming Tuesday will bring, because this was technically the season finale, air quotes, season finale of Power. So I don't know if we're having a power surge this Tuesday or some chopped together. I don't know what's going on. But next, we, of course, have a full week next week here on the PTB Wrestling Network of all your NWA needs for Hard Times 2. You and I will have a Saturday special preview where we'll preview the matches and make our predictions. And then, of course, Twitch feed and a reaction special. So a lot of fun, but we'll get to that later. Yeah, full card, some surprises. I'm looking forward to it. But why don't we get through this power, get this out of the way, and then we'll talk about the fun stuff. So,
as
the doctor said a moment ago, we were still at the chase in St. Louis. And listen, I know we've been kind of bashing it the last few weeks, but I mean, the chase is it is a legendary venue for professional wrestling. We're not stupid. We know that. It was Harley's backyard, and Slick Rick had some great moments there. All we're saying is, you know, it's been, when was NWA 73? The last weekend of August, you know? So literally, they squeezed 3 months of powers out of that weekend. 3 months.
It's crazy.
Of matches and powers out of that weekend. And of course, same thing next weekend back at the GPP in Atlanta. They're going to have this new weekly show that they keep hinting at that they're going to tape Friday night, the 3rd. Then, of course, Saturday the 4th is Hard Times 2. And then, as they normally do, 2 days of Power tapings on Sunday the 5th and Monday the 6th. So, same situation. We'll have, but at least in the GPB, they're kind of in their comfortable settings. They're close. They have the same kind of crew. You know, they do a better job of kind of manipulating the episodes when they're in their backyard. And I know you said to me this week, and I agree with you, that I think one of their goals in 2022 is to kind of expand and find a slightly larger venue to do regular tapings. I kind of agree with you on that. What do you think? Expand on your opinion, your theory.
Well, no, I mean, I love the studio wrestling, and that's what's makes it different. But it would be nice, even just for the pay-per-views, to get out in a larger facility, which they were planning on doing before the pandemic hit. And I know the Chase obviously was a little bigger than what they're normally, but I want to see like a regular arena instead of these hotel ballrooms or, you know, these.
Yeah.
You know, banquet facilities.
Yeah. I was kind of pumped. It was really sad it didn't happen, but I was looking forward last year in 2020 to the Crockett Cup at that facility in suburban Atlanta. It was an actual venue. I think it seated like close to 4,000. Well, maybe it wasn't that much. Yeah, maybe. A couple thousand anyway. And I was looking forward to seeing what that was going to be like. But of course, you know, the vid kind of fucked that up. So actually didn't kind of. It did. So that never happened. But I think I have a feeling you're right. I think 2022 we're going to start seeing some stretched venues. And I think we're going to see the NWA in some different places. So, all right. So we are at the Chase for this last episode of Power of season 6, I guess it is. Your commentators, Joe, are the two usuals, Joe Galli and Velvet Sky. But sitting in the middle seat is the boss. Yes, William Patrick Corgan is sitting in the seat this week for the go-home episode of Power. So good to see him, as always. Don't see him that often on weekly TV. I'm sure he'll be on camera at some point next week at Hot Times 2. So our first match, out comes our NWA national champion, Chris Adonis, who was wrestling at Hard Times 2. It looked like his original opponent was going to be the Pope. Well, the Pope goes over to the podium where Kyle Davis is, and the Pope says, now, if you guys remember, we talked about this on the last show. The last episode of Power, the Pope was doing commentary, and he got a phone call on his iPhone or Android, got up and left. Well, he acknowledged that phone call on air and said he did a favor. He says, I know we don't see eye to eye, but I want you to do me a favor. And the Pope said he'd do him a solid. So he's stepping back, taking the night off, and this guy's taking his place. And, of course, who runs down the aisle but the national treasure himself? Nick Aldis. So we get Nick Aldis and Chris Adonis. Kind of fun here, Doctor. Of course, seconds into the match, up the ramp comes Aldis's Hard Times 2 opponent, Mr. former best friend, Tom Latimer. They go back and forth and, you know, a lot of jaw-jacking. At one point in the climax, Aldis ducks Adonis clothesline, hits two himself. Then he whips Adonis across the ring. Adonis kicks Aldis in the chest. Then Aldis with a flying clothesline. He decks Aldis with a back elbow smash. Then hits the Michinoku driver. Lands the flying elbow drop for two. Latimer runs interference. Aldis denies the master lock. Adonis kicks Aldis in the face. But then Aldis with a double leg takedown in midair. Aldis makes Adonis then tap out to the King's Lynn cloverleaf. And then after the match, Aldis tells Latimer to bring it to the ring. But then Camille, our world women's champion, comes down and pushes her boyfriend up the ramp to, or fiance, whatever he is, to the back. So, good little match here, Doctor. Good way to set up the match. And I'm kind of excited. This is like, for me, and I know I've said this the last few weeks, and so we're going to talk a lot about it next week on the preview show. This is like a legit pay-per-view feel match that has had a build and has grown and has a great story. And I know you've talked a lot about us finally having a long game creatively, and I think this is the perfect example of that.
Agreed. It was nice to get a main event like that. I didn't think they were going to make Adonis tap out, but, interesting stuff. But the thing is that this is just a perfect, typical, old-school storyline. You have guys who are best friends, and somebody gets jealous, turns on the other friend, and now you have a great feud going. And it's going to be interesting to see over the next few months how this all plays out. I still think that all this is going to be back with Strictly Business. That's my opinion.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I do.
All right.
But up until that point, I think this is great. I mean, these are two guys, Latimer and Adonis, that have been, in real life, they're really good friends. But to kind of play on the best friends analogy and kind of making it real, even though it's not real.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Like the it's the typical thing of the younger and the older brother, kind of like the Bret Hart and Owen Hart situation. But this is like two best friends. Right. Somebody gets jealous. They did this with Hogan and Savage, and this is nothing new. It's just different guys in the mix.
Right. I mean, look, it's always okay. Storylines and foundation, like slabs of creative, always start off with the same story. But if you're using two different people, there's always a way to make it different. Like you mentioned, in the case of the Mega Powers, it was, Elizabeth and Lust Hogan, which is always one of my favorite things. Beef. Everybody. But what's funny? Everybody turned on Hogan. He was just a shitty friend. you're exactly right. I mean, it's a base. It's a good base storyline. The Rockers broke up. You had Shawn Michaels turn into one of the greatest heels of all time, and not only just one of the greatest of all time, period. It's a good base creative foundation, and it's your job as the booker, as book a man, whoever that is, to make it different than anything in the past. So pretty simple. Speaking of Tom Latimer, Billy Corgan gets up from the table, walks over to Kyle Davis's stand, and tells Tom Latimer to get his ass out here. So Billy talking some hot shit out of the gate.
Billy's, it's nice to see him out there and be a part of the thing, but he doesn't have that forceful presence.
No, he's not Vince.
Of an owner, like a Vince. Or,
yeah, he's not Vince. He's not
even Tony Khan, just doesn't have that.
he's not even
Vince. But he tries.
Yeah. Anyway, he calls Tom Latimer out, and he pretty much says, either you're wrestling tonight or you're fired. It's pretty funny. Anyway, Latimer gets in the ring, and Billy says, I went through the back in the locker room and came up with an opponent. Out came heartthrob Jaden Roller. He's the one with the pink tights and all the little straps kind of thing. Anyway, Latimer absolutely mugs him. No shock there. And finishes them. I'm not even going to give you the. By the way, good thing. A special thanks, as always, to my good friend Josh Lopez for helping with my notes. You can follow him on Twitter at Josh Lopez Media. I'm not going to get into the whole hullabaloo. It was pretty much a glorified squash, and Latimer hits the pile driver. Symbolic, because remember, he hit three pile drivers on Nick Aldis, so that was very symbolic. So Latimer picked up the win. I got to be honest, Doctor, we won't get into it too much tonight. We'll focus on the match itself next week on the preview special. I'm back and forth, but I kind of see Tom Latimer maybe winning this match next Saturday. I don't know. I'm feeling, just give me a feeling right now. Don't go, we'll get more into the nuts and bolts next week. But do you get a feeling? Do you have any feeling at all that Latimer could actually win the match?
I do. I think he needs to win to make this feud go further.
Mm. And to legitimize himself.
I could see it happen.
Yeah.
Yep, exactly. I could see this happening.
Maybe. I feel good about it. I feel good about it. Anyway, we'll get
I
more
do
into
too,
there.
And I think I think it's going to be a great match.
I think it's going to be an awesome match,
the match of the night.
I think it will, too. We'll get more into it, of course, in more detail on next week's show. Next up, we have a promo between our two competitors in next week's World Television Championship match, our champion, Tyrus, and Scion, the masked man, or so we say. Mae Valentine's interviewing both of them, and Scion, who sounds different than he normally does, keeps apologizing to Tyrus for wanting the match, and they forgive him. It was very strange, but it was evident, of course, that was not the real Scion. It was Jordan Clearwater with a mask on. I fell for it too, Doctor. You and I are watching. I'm like, wait a minute. And I thought it was because Jordan Clearwater was Scion, but no, it was all, of course, a big ruse on the part of Austin Idol. So that was funny. Again, I don't see Tyrus losing that match because I have a feeling they're going to keep accruing the wins for the Lucky Seven, but we'll see. More on that next week. Next, we had, you know, the gimmicky match of the night as Taryn Terrell took on Kenzie Page in a social distance match. The storyline is both wrestlers had to wear masks. And Terrell measures 6 feet between she and Kenzie Page. That's right. And so they started doing like air collar tie-ups and air punches. And it was just a giant dopey gimmick to just put over Taryn Terrell as a coward and a doofus. And Kenzie Page had enough. Terrell hits her in the eyes with hand sanitizer. Page removes the mask. Page runs after Terrell. Terrell hides behind the podium and gets intentionally counted out. So nothing really much there, Doctor. That was pretty much a gimmicky crap thing to... I mean, Taryn Terrell, obviously former ECW commissioner or general manager, and of course she was also in Impact. But she's a good little heel manager. Nothing good, nothing crazy there. Next, we end the show with back-to-back tag team matches. Our next match here is maybe two teams that we could see down the line, possibly going after the World Tag Team titles, of course, currently held by La Rebellion. Your teams are JTG and Colby Carino against the Rude Dudes, which is, of course, El Rudo and Stanley. Fun little match. Pretty solid. Carino and you're wondering how Carino and JTG are still tag partners because JTG clearly a babyface and obviously Colby Carino a heel. Stanley applies a front face lock. Rudo tags himself in. Punches Carino in the back. Carino with heavy body shots. Carino then with a forearm smash. Rudo drops him with a big boot. He talks smack to him. Then he applies a rear chin lock. Carino fights from underneath. Then he hits an inside cradle for two. Stanley repeatedly stomps on Carino's chest. Stanley goes into the lateral press for two. Then chokes Carino with his boot. Then Rudo hits a running axe handle strike. Carino then decks Stanley with a back elbow smash. He kicks Rudo in the chest. Hits the pop-up powerbomb for two. Rudo tags in Stanley. Rudo whips Carino across the ring. JTG then tags himself in. Rudo hits a backbreaker, then JTG with two haymakers. Ducks a clothesline from Rudo, then hits the sling blade. Clothesline Stanley again, then scores an elbow lockdown, so JTG on fire. Hits a pop-up neckbreaker for two. The referees lost complete control of this match during the break. They went to commercial in the middle of it. Carino dumps Rudo out of the ring. Carino hits the slingshot pescado, and then JTG connects with the Brooklyn's Edge. Dr. G's favorite finisher in the NWA right now. The Brooklyn's Edge for the win. So JTG and Colby Carino pick up the win, but obviously not on the same page because they didn't really technically tag each other. First of all, I love JTG. Rest in peace, Shad Gaspard. Love JTG. But I got to say, Doctor, Colby Carino is definitely growing on me as a good little heel. That's slowly starting to get how to get over. You know what I mean?
He's definitely coming into his own, and definitely the pedigree of being a second generation wrestler. You mm-hmm. see it. He understands the business. He's a pretty good heel. Mm-hmm. I can see him being a top heel in this company in the next year or so.
Yep. His dad was too. We've seen his dad. Kind of like to see him in NWA again. That would be pretty cool. So JTG and Colby Carino get to the victory. We get an interview with Jax Dane, who, of course, is pretty hot right now, coming off the big steel cage victory over Crimson at By Any Means Necessary. Still knows he has a world title shot in his pocket. But he suspects that the powers that be might be conspiring against him as well. He says it's like, quote, I'm trying to get the mountaintop and there's a rock in my show, in my shoe. So that's interesting. Jax Dane, of course, a former NWA World's Heavyweight Champion. 2014 and 15, I think he was champion. So he's lingering, Doctor. He's lingering around that main event scene. We get a clip going over the card for Hot Tams 2, which we'll do at the end of the show. Our main event, speaking of Jax Dane, pits him and Jeremiah Plunkett against Crimson and our NWA World's Heavyweight Champion, Trevor Murdoch. Good little match to finish Power off. Obviously, this match happened before the attack by Trevor Murdoch to Trevor Murdoch by Mike Knox. So no Mike Knox presence here because this was match was probably like 6 weeks ago or something, or 7 weeks ago. So decent tag for solid wrestlers. Plunkett tags in Dane. Dane talks smack to Crimson. Dane puts the boots to Crimson, then tags in Plunkett. Plunkett with a falling fist drop, then drives his elbow into Crimson's forehead. Plunkett applies a rear chin lock. Crimson with a jawbreaker. Plunkett tags in Dane. Dane knocks Murdoch off the ring apron. Crimson ducks a clothesline from Dane, then sidesteps Dane into the turnbuckles, then repeatedly whips Dane into the turnbuckles again. He sends Dane shoulder first into two ring posts, then hits the flying elbow drop for two. Then Crimson dumps Plunkett out of the ring. Crimson's on a fire right now. Hot tag here. Crimson nails Dane with the bell clap. Dane fights out of the fireman's carry position, then tags in Plunkett. Dane walks out on Plunkett. He tags him in and then leaves. Crimson tags in Murdoch. Crimson goes after Dane, so they're gone. Murdoch hits two clotheslines, hits a body slam, and then hits his flying bulldog for the victory. So obviously, Jeremiah Plunkett was just simply in there to eat the pin. Jax Dane and Crimson run off, and our world's heavyweight champion stands tall as we go off the air. So again, really not a overly nutsoid episode of Power, just kind of fill to get through the end of the season and get us ready for Hot Tams 2. Overall, Doctor,
yeah, I mean,
decent show.
It was, and I think it was a good way. You know, you're starting to set up the pay-per-view. You know, all pretty decent matches. Obviously, you could do a little bit more, but it's more of the build to the pay-per-view itself. And they're doing a pretty good job of, you know, getting us ready and getting us psyched for what's going to be ahead at Hard Times too.
Exactly. So there you go. Nice little quick recap of Power this past week. So why don't we give you the full card for Hot Tams 2. One week, if you're listening to this Saturday morning, 1 week from tonight, Saturday, December 4th, from the GPB studios in Hotlanta. So they'll be back in their old haunt. They actually have an official poster now with like the whole roster. It looks awesome. It actually looks like a great poster. I'm telling you, Doctor, for the first time since the reboot, I feel like this is a real legit like pay-per-view. With title matches and feuds, and it doesn't have that exhibition feel like the other ones did. You know what I mean? This feels like an actual pay-per-view. You know what I'm saying?
It does. More and more as time goes on, they're starting to act like a big company.
Yeah. So even here's the card. Right. So here's the card. And we're not going to pick, we're not going to do our predictions or anything. We'll save that for next week. I just want everyone to hear the card. So on the pre-show, there is a pre-show at 7 o'clock. On the pre-show, we have a qualifying gauntlet match for, yes, the NWA World Junior Heavyweight Championship is back. And you know what that means, Doctor? They gotta find Denny Brown.
Denny Brown should be the special guest referee.
He should. He should present the championship belt. What do you think? For those that don't know, for some of the newer fans, Denny Brown was a wrestler in the 70s and 80s down in Crockett.
Yes.
And he is probably the most well-known former NWA Junior Heavyweight Champion. The current Junior Heavyweight title belt looks the same as the world title, except the leather is orange. And it's done on the top where it says World's Heavyweight Champion, and the other one, it actually says Junior Heavyweight Champion. So the last Junior Heavyweight Champion was Barrett Brown, who had it on August. He beat Mr. USA on August 12th, 2017 in Dyersburg, Tennessee. He was the last one, and then it was vacated that September. You know who has the longest combined days as Junior Heavyweight Champion? You ready for this? Danny Hodge.
Yep.
Did you know that?
Yeah, I know that JR is a big fan. Me and Jim Ross is a big fan of Danny Hodge.
He wrestled at Oklahoma. Yeah. Speaking of our good friend, Denny Brown, he won his first junior heavyweight championship at Starrcade 84. He beat Mike Davis. Held the title till July of 85 when he lost to Hiro Saito. And then Hiro Saito lost to the Cobra. Then it was vacated. And then it was this whole thing involving Baba and All Japan and all this other bullshit. But Denny Brown would end up winning the belt back on August 1st, 1985. Held it for 15 days before losing it to Gary Royal. Then won it back September of 85. Lost it to... He held it for over 300 days. Lost it to Steve Regal. Not Steven Regal. Not that Regal. Steve Regal.
Mr. Electricity.
Mr. Electricity. Then Denny Brown won it back in September. And then Lasertron beat him in March of 87. And then I think that was it. Nelson Royal won it a couple times. I don't think Denny Brown won it again. But then it bounced around. Then it was it was deactivated in December of 89. Came back in 95. And then there was a bunch of other guys. So, Danny Hodge has had the most reigns. 7 reigns as champion and 4,134 combined days. Mike Quackenbush had it too, so... Anyway, Billy Corgan is bringing back the Junior Heavyweight Championship. And I think this is a good move, Doctor. I don't think this is just a belt for the sake of a belt. I think it'll enhance the roster. It'll bring some fresh blood in there, some young guys, some smaller guys. I'm in favor of this. Are you?
Yeah. I mean, why not? I mean, they're building a bigger roster, so you have enough guys now to... have a decent division.
Right.
But it's interesting to see because is this Fight TV contract bringing in, large sums of cash, because they're definitely building the roster, which is nice to see.
I agree.
There's plenty of guys out there, plenty of guys and women out there right now.
Yep.
Looking for jobs. So
yeah, including
the NWA, baby.
Yeah. We all know what's going on in ROH. So here are the 12 men that are in the qualifying gauntlet match, and this will be on the pre-show. Alex Taylor, Aria Davari, so Davari's back. C.W. Anderson, yeah, love a little grizzled ex-ECW guys. Darius Lockhart, Homicide, Jeremiah Plunkett, Jamie Stanley, Kerry Morton, Luke Hawks, P.J. Hawks, so father and son, Chrysal Renaro, really? Jesus. And Victor.
Your pal.
Benjamin. So there you go. So a 12-person, 12-man qualifying gauntlet match in the chase to recrown an NWA World Junior Heavyweight Champion. All right, now the match, now the card proper. Jax Dane is on the card. And guess who he's wrestling, Doctor, with Crimson in his corner? Come on, if I'm asking you, you know who the answer is. Mims! And let me tell you something. No joke about
Mims. Are you trying to mock me?
Mims! Pretty awesome. Mims, of course, had a great match with Scion at any means necessary.
Mims is one of those guys that doesn't get the respect. I mean, I could see him being a future national champion.
Sure.
You know, television champion.
Yep, I agree. I agree 100%. So it'll be Jax Dane and Mims at Hard Times 2 with Crimson in Mims' corner. Mickie James will be wrestling at Hard Times 2. We're not sure against who. I, of course, hope it is the luscious Deonna Purrazzo. Hopefully she returns. Colby Carino. This is a big match for him, Doctor. Colby Carino taking on Doug Williams, Nick Aldis' buddy from the other side of the pond. This is a put on your big boy pants match for Colby Carino, because Doug Williams, old school grizzled UK guy, is going to tie him up like a pretzel. So that should be fun. Maybe a little hard brow. What do you think? A little bust the brow hard way. What do you think?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. You like that?
Think he'll like to bleed like his father?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Except Colby Carino won't dye his hair blonde like Steve did. Of course, one of the big matches on the card is, we talked about earlier, Nick Aldis, the National Treasure, taking on former best friend Tom Latimer. No accompaniments at ringside, so no Camille, no Chris Adonis. And if either man is disqualified, both men will be suspended for 8 weeks. Wait, I didn't read that right. If either man is disqualified, that man will be suspended for 8 weeks. I don't know. Does that stip mean that we're going to get a DQ? I don't know. You know how that works.
I know, right?
So we'll see. We have a singles qualifying match for the junior heavyweight title. Austin Aries, not one of my favorites, not going to lie. Good wrestler, but taking on Rhett Titus. So that should be a fun little match. The OGK, little ROH NWA crossover here, Doctor. The ROH Tag Team Champions, the OGK, Matt Taven and Mike Bennett, taking on former NWA World Tag Team Champions, Aaron Stevens and Kratos. And I think this is the match, Doctor, where Kratos finally loses it and beats the shit out of Stevens, and Stevens turns full-blown babyface. I think I think they finally explode here. I think they have to at this point, right?
Yeah, I mean, this storyline's been going on for a while, so it's going to be interesting to see how this actually happens. You know, every time we think that it's just going to be, you know, pure, you know, Stevens is going to just be a pure babyface, and, you know, Kratos is going to turn on him, it never happens.
Right. So we'll see.
But now it's kind of getting predictable, so now you hope they do something different.
Right. Yeah, I know, right? So there you go. So the OGK, Matt Taven and Mike Bennett, the ROH Tag Team Champions, will be defending their belts against Aaron Stevens and Kratos. We have a three-way tag match for the NWA World Women's Tag Team Championship. Your champions, the Hex, are girls, Allison Kay and Marty Bell, taking on two teams, Lady Frost and Natalia Markova. And the other team is Kylie Rae and Tootie Lynn, our favorite from St. Louis. So a three-way match for the NWA World Women's Tag Team titles. The Hex versus Kylie Rae and Tootie Lynn versus Lady Frost and Natalia Markova. We have our NWA National Championship match. Chris Adonis will defend his belt against Judas, who, of course, won the number one contender slot at NWA 73. I have no doubt, Doctor, that we're going to get a James Storm run in here and fuck this match up, because I think James Storm's eventually going to win the title back. So we'll see. That's just my choice. That's what I'm thinking. The NWA World Women's title on the line. Camille defending her belt against Melina. For the World Tag Team titles, La Rebellion, Bestia 666 and Mecha Wolf 450 will take on The End, Odinson and Paro, who of course won the number one contenders tournament. Tyrus, as I mentioned, will take on Scion for the World Television title, with the Pope is the special guest ref. It is a no DQ match, and they are waiving the 605 time limit. There will be no time limit in this match. We will have a winner between Tyrus and Scion for the World Television Championship. And finally, the main event for Sweet Charlotte, the NWA World's Heavyweight Championship, Trevor Murdoch will defend the gold against Mike Knox. Pretty loaded card, Doctor. A lot of gold on the line.
It is a loaded card.
A lot of gold. Let me see. How many title matches? 1, 2, 5, 6, 7. 7 title matches. 13 matches total. The one pre-show and then 12 on the main card. So we're talking. I know we've been. I'm telling you, Doctor, this is like the first big time legit, I feel, NWA pay-per-view in a while. Like, this is no joke. This isn't like
this is very big for them, because it's stop, you know, let's get into the big time here, you know, and then adding Mick Foley to the mix.
Yes, forgot to say that Mick Foley, yes, will be making an appearance at Hot Tams 2, second straight NWA pay-per-view that a legend will be there. Of course, Ric Flair was at NWA 73. Also, they'll be doing a tribute. I meant to mention this, a tribute to Jazz, former NWA Women's Champion, of course, former WWE Women's Champion. She is one of the amazing bookers backstage, along with Mickie James and Medusa, which is why this women's division is so great. So yeah, huge. I really hope we get a good, I think they're really banking on a big, big number for the show, Doctor. Relatively speaking, of course, but right. I have a feeling they're banking on something big here.
I think so, because in order to grow this brand, you need to put on a big show, and you put on a good show. Yes, it's not in a big arena or anything like that, but you could still put on a great show to where people with where there's a buzz and go, you know, you got to check these guys out.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. So 13 matches. 12 on the main show and 1 on the pre-show. We will have a regular episode of the Saturday special in the morning that'll drop at 9 a.m. On the feed. And you and I, Doctor, will make our official predictions, and we'll break down this 13-match mega card known as Hot Tams 2. Then, as you heard, we will have the NWA Hard Times 2 alternate commentary on the Place to Be Nation Twitch feed. Myself, the Kettleman, Sean, unfortunately, Sean Kidd, not able to join us. Maybe he's afraid that Mike Knox will lose. Doctor, you will, I know you won't be able to join us from the beginning, but I'm sure you will join us at some point. So we'll have a lot of fun. So join us on the Twitch feed, twitch.tv, and then look up Place to Be Nation. And then dropping at, it should be early Sunday morning, but it could be some point in the afternoon as well. Sometime on Sunday, the 5th, we will have the Hard Times 2 reaction special. So, and then I think that's good for pay-per-view till probably March. I don't think we'll have, I think March will probably be the next one. So anyway.
Yeah, I can't see them doing one in January, February, nah. But you know, you never know. You never know. So, if anything, I think it'll be announced that night.
Yeah, that'd be great. So, all right, that'll do it for this week's episode. Nice little sprint. We wanted to keep you updated on what happened this past week on Power and give you the full card. You can follow me on Twitter at Scott C. Podfather. You can follow the Doctor on Twitter at Dr. GPTB. Most importantly, you can follow the brand on Twitter at PTB and Wrestling. The feed this week was a little quiet. It was a holiday week, but we did have a new episode of With This Ring, as Ryan and Cindy continue talking about nominations for the GWCW Greatest Wrestler list. You're down to a month. Yeah, between now and New Year's. So get your list in. Doctor, you and I got to finish the official show list. Get it in by December 31st. You know who to send it to. And then we will start to do the tally, Deloitte and Touche, or whatever the other one is, Lake Mason, or whoever does those. And we will, of course, have the PlaceToBeNation.com composite list. And then, of course, many of the shows here on the PTB Wrestling Network and, of course, over on the No-So will unveil their lists. I know we're going to do one for Main Event. Doctor, you and I will do one here for the Saturday special. I'm sure JR and the guys over at the No-So will probably have shows where lists will be unveiled as well. And then we'll also announce the 2022 stretch project list. It was a long time. It was due. We won't announce it now. We'll announce it after the new year, and we'll let you know what that list is. So there you go. PlaceToBe.podbean.com. You can find all the great shows there. Place to Be podcast, the Main Event, Saturday special, Crock and Roll, some of our new shows, Through the Looking Glass, PTBN's Pedestal. That's a show I'm looking forward to being on. If you didn't catch the premiere episode, please do. They didn't want me on it because Sean wanted to totally trash the match, so he didn't want to have me on. No, I'm just kidding. Good concept for that show. Check it out, PTBN's Pedestal. It's a fun little show. It's about taking a match that has been historically considered one of the greatest of all time, live watching it, and talking about it. Does it hold? Does it hold up? Does it stand the test of time? I think an episode that would be huge would be the Iron Man match between Shawn and Bret at WrestleMania 12. I personally think it does not hold up. I think the match is dreadfully dull, but that's just my opinion. I can give you two better Iron Man matches off the top of my head. But in any event, just my opinion. You never know. Of course, the great new show Through the Looking Glass, myself and Dave Hall, The Thunder from Down Under. We're two episodes in. If you hadn't a chance to listen, please do. It's a fun new show of mine. Fun new little project that Dave Hall and I have done where we kind of find an important moment in history and tweak it, go to an alternate universe and see what would happen if something else took place or if something did or didn't happen. So I really enjoyed this. I really enjoyed the November episode. We broke down what would happen if Montreal did not happen. What if by some strange, weird, freaky thing, Doctor, Sean, Vince, Brett, everybody lived in perfect harmony. Yeah, you want to talk about an alternate universe.
You aren't getting there.
But I had a blast, and I think Dave and I really did a nice job, so please check it out. It was a fun show. We have a nice topic for our December episode. So think of what pay-per-view was in December, and then we'll give you, and then that might give you somewhat of a feeling of what the topic will be this month. So, Doctor, you guys are doing a great job over on Crock and Roll. You are getting deep into, not deep into, but you're starting into 1986. You've done January. You did Superstars on the Superstation, which is a fun show, by the way. We did an episode of Jenny and the Gems about that show. So listen to those back to back. Listen to the episode that myself, Jenny, and Matt Souza and Drew Wardlaw did on Superstars on the Superstation, and then watch these fine gentlemen on NWA Crock and Roll and see what their thoughts were. And you have eight different opinions on the Superstars and the Superstation. Surprisingly awesome match there, Doctor, between Ric Flair and Ronnie Garvin, if you remember correct. Did you like that match? Oh, that match was incredible.
It is. Let me tell you something. They had some great matches together. And, you know, Ronnie Garvin may have not had the charisma, but, boy, he made Ric Flair work, and he beat the hell out of him.
Maybe the hardest chopper.
Yeah.
You know?
What was Flair on his recent – one of his podcasts was saying that – you know, he used to have to put like Vaseline and stuff on his, you know, I forget what he said, something to help heal his chest because when he was during that period of time, because he was just getting the shit kicked out of him by Ronnie Garvin with those chops.
Yeah,
it was crazy. During that period of time.
Yeah, it was crazy. So check it out. Newest episode of NWA Crock and Roll, which dropped last week, and a new one will drop this coming week. So, all right, that'll do it. Have a great continued holiday weekend. Hope everyone had your turkey leftovers. Plenty of football to watch. And we will talk to you next weekend for NWA Hard Times 2. I'm Scott, the Doctor, and you're not.
Gobble, gobble. Ciao.
Ciao. Do you put sauce on your turkey?